Our Bible reading this morning from Matthew chapter 15. As we read these verses, we see several things concerning the people that Jesus was addressing at this time. The scribes and Pharisees, verse 1, they were from Jerusalem and they came to Jesus asking this question: "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." While Jesus was on earth teaching and directing people and guiding people toward the future kingdom that was to come, that he was going to die on the cross and shed his blood and set up his kingdom, the church, there was a transition from the Mosaic law to the law of Jesus, that was the law of Christ, that was just about to take place. And during his time, he spent leading others, calling his apostles, calling his disciples, and letting them follow him. And oftentimes, the segment of the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees especially, and the Sadducees themselves, they would come to Jesus and they would question him, trying to catch him and find something wrong. And of course, we know they failed in that. Jesus lived a perfect life. He did no sin. There was no anything that he did that was wrong. He kept perfectly the law of Moses. He obeyed the Father and did the Father's will while he was on this earth. And so, here in Matthew chapter 15, the question arises, why his disciples, why his followers transgress something. And let's look at that. He says there in verse 2, they ask the question to Jesus: "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And so, Jesus points out to them that, you know, he asked them the question. And actually, his disciples were not transgressing anything. So the scribes and the Pharisees, many of the Jews, they had followed tradition so long that they couldn't distinguish between what the law of Moses actually taught them to do in keeping of the law. They were following traditions of their fathers or the traditions of men more than they were the commandments that came from God. And so Jesus points this out to them and he says, "Why do you also transgress this commandment of God? Because of your tradition." So we see in this text that it is possible for mankind to have traditions or rituals or doctrines or practices that they used over time, over weeks, over months, over years, or handed down from generation to generation that are not in keeping with the Word of God. And this was the problem that some of these Jews, they had gotten away from the elements of the teaching of the law of Moses and the obeying of the law as God required them to, and they had put more emphasis on their traditions of their fathers rather than the law of Moses, and Jesus condemns them in this. And he goes on to say that you can follow your traditions like you've been doing. You can stray away from the law of Moses and not obey it, but by doing this, you cannot please God. So this morning, one point that we want to make in this lesson is that if you're going to please God, and I'm going to please God, then we need to understand what it is that God would have to say to us, and when He says it, we need to receive it and apply it to our life, and do it as He asks us to do. And so, these people then were labeled as hypocrites. Look down at verses 7 through 9 of Matthew chapter 15. He says, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" So again, we see a second point in the lesson this morning in that it is possible for someone to try to draw near to God or try to come to God and not have their heart right. It is possible to someone to try to come to God and honor Him with their lips and their heart not be right before God. So just verbal service to God, just speaking things up to God, is not all that there is. It has to be from the heart, and the heart has to be attuned then to the things that God wants us to do so that we receive those things by faith and obey them. And then in turn, the action that comes from the heart results in the things that God requires of us. But these people had not done that. And so these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So, in order to honor God as we should, in order to worship God as we should, in order to obey God as He requires of us, it takes a mindset that's correct, in the sight of God, that we would respect God for who He is, our Creator, the giving of life, the one who sent His Son for our sins. Respecting Him as Father, as the Creator, and ourselves then as being the one which is created. So we're to serve God, and when we come to Him then, it needs to become coming to Him in accordance to the things that He's taught us to do in order to approach Him. It's one thing to say something or say I'm going to do this in the name of religion, or I'm going to do this for God, and then fail in that because we have not done it according to God's will. So it says in verse 8, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So the first thing about coming to God is having our heart right. The first thing about receiving the things that God would have us to receive and looking up to God and believing who He is has to be the fact that our heart is right with God. Over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Hebrew writer talks about believing God or faith in God. He said, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So to approach God, to give honor to God, it has to be on God's terms. And so we need to understand what it is that God would have us to do in order to approach Him and approach it in the way He asks us to do it. So just lip service is not good enough. It has to be from the heart. Certainly there are things that we're to say in words and in actions that God wants us to do, but it has to be from the heart, and then it has to be in keeping with what God wants us to do. Look at verse 9. One of the things that keeps people from coming to God and serving God as they should is that people get caught up sometimes in the doctrines and the commandments of men that are separate and apart from what God has taught. And so when we do that, we can't approach God and come to Him as we should because we're obeying what? The commandments of men. That was one of the problems with the scribes and Pharisees and many of the Jews is that they were now following the traditions of their fathers rather than the strict rules of the law of Moses. And so it had caused them to be disobedient and displeasing to God because their heart was not right with God, so their actions were not right with God. And in verse 9, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So this morning we want to consider for just a few minutes the fact that God has teaching that He wants man to know. He has revealed that teaching to us through His Word, through the Bible. The Bible, it was written by men over a period of 1600 years. 40 different men were the writers. And from Genesis 1 through Revelation chapter 22 to the end of the Bible, there's nothing in it that can contradicts each other. These men, many of them, the writers of the Bible, all of them being inspired of God, many of them lived in different times and different centuries and different generations and didn't know each other. They lived in different corners of the world, in different areas of the world, yet they were inspired of God. And the unique thing about the Bible is that it is from God. It is God-breathed. It is inspired. And that what every one of these inspired men wrote in the Bible that we have today to study is all in keeping with what God wants us to know. And there's no contradiction in it. The Bible itself is complete and thorough and perfect and furnishes us unto every good work. As Paul told Timothy, the Scripture is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. So verse 9, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Someone may say, well, it's okay to go over and just put some ideas together and things that are good and things that seem to be innocent and things that will help us along our way. And we'll write those things down and we'll set them apart and set them beside the Bible and we'll go along with those things and kind of use the Bible as a partial guide, but we'll put our ideas together. Well, according to this, God is disappointed in people when they have actions of that kind. Again, verses 8 and 9 of Matthew chapter 15. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. So, If we're going to teach, we need to teach the Bible. If we're going to teach things concerning the plan of salvation, worshiping God, doing God's will, getting to heaven, the plan that God has for man, it must come from God, because the ideas of men are not necessarily always the ideas of God. And so we need to learn to think as God would have us to think by studying His Word. Let's take just a few minutes and look back in the Bible. Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And let's consider a few verses here that talk about the fact that God has always been strict. He's always required the fact that when He revealed His will to mankind, He requires that we take His will and we understand it and we obey it and we do as He asks us to do and not change His Word in any way. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, Moses commands obedience to the children of Israel from the things that God told him to tell these people. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the commandments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. So, for the children of Israel to be able to go in and possess the land that God had promised to Abraham their father that they were about to go in to receive, there were some requirements for them, and that is that they do what? That you obey God. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 4 again. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God your fathers has given you. There were some requirements that had to be met so God would keep His promise to them. God was going to keep His promise, but He required the people then to be obedient. Well, how important is it that we teach God's Word and we obey God's Word and not listen to the commandments of men? Well, look how important it was to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. They were told, in regard to listening to the law of Moses and the things that God commanded them, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. So, two things. You shall not add to the word of God. You shall not add to the word of God, and you shall not take from the word of God. How important is the word of God again? Go with me again to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and emphasize what Paul told Timothy concerning the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So, if you want to please God, and if I want to please God, if we want to be saved through the plan that God has given, if we want to walk in the path that pleases God and serve Him so that we have assurance of a home in heaven, we need to be looking into the book that God has given us, listening to the words that He has taught us, and not add to or take from it, not change it, but what? Accept it as it is. So, not only in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, was this emphasized, but we can go over to Galatians chapter 1 in the New Testament. Turn with me, if you will, please. And let's look to Galatians chapter 1 and look at what the Apostle Paul told those Christians in the churches of Galatia there concerning the Word of God and the preaching of the Gospel, the importance of accepting the Word of God as it is and not changing it in any way, shape, form, or fashion, because there's danger in following the traditions of men, because it keeps us away from following God. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who calls you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Is there another gospel? Look at verses 7 through 9. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any of the gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So when Jesus talked to those scribes and Pharisees, those Jews in Matthew chapter 15, and condemned them for following the traditions of their fathers that were not in keeping with the will of God, and called them hypocrites because they were not doing what God asked, Paul is warning the churches of Galatia and Christians like you and I today that there's only one guide, and that is the Word of God. There's only one true source through which we can understand the revelation of God, and that is through His Word. And so Deuteronomy 4 and Matthew 15 and Galatians 1 all teach us at least one thing about the Word of God. We're not to add to it. We're not to take from it. We're not to change it. We're not to pick and choose from it. It's not a cafeteria-style religion that we can go in and find, well, I like what this verse says, so I'm going to obey it. But I don't really like what this verse says, so I'm going to lay it aside and not choose it. I'm going to fill my plate up with the verses I like and follow them. It doesn't work that way. Deuteronomy 4, Matthew chapter 15, and Galatians chapter 1 all place emphasis on the fact that the Word of God is complete, perfect, and thorough, and we need to obey it, and not the traditions of men or the teachings or doctrines of men, because they may not always be in keeping with what the Word of God tells us. If you will, look over to 2 John. Let's read a few verses there. 2 John, beginning in verse 9. And we see again the warning about not listening to those who would teach anything different from the Bible. The warning not to follow the traditions of men or the teachings of men, but to only obey the Bible. 2 John, beginning in verse 7, and we'll read through verse 10. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Now look at the warning in verses 9 and 10. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Now, which way do we want to have it? Do we want to not have God? It'd be a terrible thought, wouldn't it? Or do we want to have both the Father and the Son and be pleasing to them? We should want that. Look at verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him in your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. So when we start in Matthew chapter 15, when Jesus talked to those Jews, those Pharisees, and told them that you teach for doctrines the traditions of your fathers. You teach for doctrines the commandments of men, and that's not pleasing. Deuteronomy 4, the Israelites were told in those verses to do what? Not add to or take from the words that God had revealed to them. Galatians 1 warns that we're not to go beyond and transgress the doctrine of Christ because there's only one gospel. But the gospel can be perverted. How can it be perverted? By the traditions of men, by the doctrines of men, by those who would be false teachers. We need to make sure that whatever we hear and whatever we're listening to and whatever we're obeying is measured by the Word of God and that it's found in the Word of God. Look with me to Revelation chapter 22 and let's read a couple of verses. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. Again, emphasis placed on the Word of God and following Him and not following my own ideas or my own ways or the ways of men or the traditions of men. Revelation 22, beginning of verse 18, he says, For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. That's a serious thought. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God should take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So when we consider what God told Moses to tell the children of Israel, what Jesus said to those Pharisees and some of those Jews that were following the traditions of men and not following the law of Moses, and what Paul said to the Christians as he wrote to the church of Galatia, those false teachers, that there's only one gospel. And in what John said in his epistle in 2 John 9-11, not to bid people Godspeed who would come to you and bring anything other than the gospel. And then what's revealed to us by John through the revelation of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 22, not to add to or take from, we can see then that God is strict. God is merciful though, and He's gracious. He's gracious and merciful in the fact that He was willing to reveal His will to us. And He's done it through this book. God merciful enough to know that we as human beings separate ourselves from God by sin. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of the gift of God is eternal life. So God through His Word has revealed to us who He is, who we are, where we came from. He's our Creator, and we're the created. He's revealed His plan of redemption for man through His Son Jesus, whom He sent to this earth to die once and once for all, for you and for me and for everyone. Why? That we might have the forgiveness of sins. And the Bible then ties itself together from beginning to end, looking to Christ, who was to come, and He did come. Who was to live a perfect life, and He did. Who was to die, and He did die. Who was buried and rose again the third day and ascended into heaven. He is now seated at the right hand of God. And we have the Word of God revealed to us so that we can have that hope and assurance of a resurrection and a home in heaven if we obey God. So how important is it that we take the Word of God and study it and learn and obey it? Look with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7, and let's read just a few verses. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. And Jesus again continues to emphasize the fact that there's the way that God has given, and man needs to adhere to that way. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So before we read any further, just ask yourself the question, I'll ask myself the question, as we all need to question ourselves and say, if I follow the traditions of men, will I be following the will of God? If I follow the way that may be easiest and the most insightful to me, that may look like something that's going to be the easiest and most efficient way for me, if I follow that rather than God, will that be acceptable? Well, He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Now, He's going to say here in Matthew chapter 7, beginning of verse 22, and He's going to illustrate to us that there are going to be a lot of people who are going to try to do a lot of things and are going to try to teach a lot of things. What God has said, but when they do that, it's not going to be pleasing to God. Verse 22 of Matthew chapter 7. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It'll be a sad state of affairs for those who do not believe God and those who do not obey God when Jesus comes again. Because we're going to be judged by what? By the words that are written in this book. By the words that Jesus has spoken. I want to take the time to turn to John chapter 12 and verse 48. John chapter 12 and verse 48. Here Jesus says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in that day, the last day. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We see that Jesus talks about the fact that Paul talks about the fact that we're going to be judged, and we're going to be judged by Jesus, the Son of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So this morning we've taken about 30 minutes to consider the fact that there were some people in Jesus' days who were following the traditions of men, and it wasn't pleasing to God, and he condemned them for it. There was a warning given to the children of Israel hundreds of years before that they needed to adhere to the words of God and not add to it or take from it. Hundreds of years later, Jesus wrote to the church and Christians in Galatia, and he said, you know, if any man preach any of the gospel, then that which I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. A few years later, the Apostle John wrote in 2 John, he wrote there concerning the fact that whosoever transgresseth and goes beyond. So it is possible to transgress and not obey God. Revelation 22 warned not to add to or take from the Word of God. There's going to be a time when Jesus is going to come back to this earth. And when He comes, we need to be ready by believing what God has said in His Word and being obedient to it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, he says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire. Listen carefully to this verse. Taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where may you and I learn about the good news? In the Bible. It's complete and perfect and thorough and furnishes us unto every good work. What do we need to do with this book? We need to study it. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, we're told to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. God is gracious to us. He's shown His mercy by sending His Son. He's graciously sent His Word. What I need to do is read it. What you need to do is read it. And what we need to do is someone comes to us and tries to tell us something about our soul salvation or worshiping Him or doing His will. We need to measure that by what the book says and then do what the book says, because we're going to be judged by the book. I've said all this morning to help myself and encourage each one of you to get in the book and study and be willing to obey God from the heart and have the forgiveness of sins that's found through the blood of Christ. Now, before we conclude, our gospel meeting begins next Sunday morning, the Lord's willing, and goes through the following Wednesday. Brother Bill Hall is a very capable preacher. Most of us here know Brother Bill. I noticed that many of you picked up invitations and taken them with you and invited people. That meeting is important, just as our assembly on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night is important. That meeting is of utmost importance because Bill Hall is coming to preach the gospel that's to be taught to all the world. You and I and everyone else are not going to get to heaven without the gospel, the good news. He's coming to bring it. Let's be here to listen to it. Let's make our plans to be here at every service, to hear Him break the bread of life to us, hear the Word of God taught, and invite others to come and hear the gospel, because the gospel is so important. Romans 1 and 16, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, and also to the Greek. The power of salvation is in the gospel, the blood of Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, and it's your desire to be baptized, and we can help you with that. Or if you're here this morning and you are a child of God, and maybe you have failed to keep His Word as you should, if we can help you in any regard, please come while James leads us in an invitation song.